And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon, welcome. An absolutely beautiful day, crew, to the newsroom here in Bryan. It's not beautiful in here, it's the same as it always is, but outside, great day. Go outside. Hope you have a chance to roll your windows down. It's nice. If you're listening to us in the car, roll your windows down.
Convertibles.
Pop the top back. Maybe you're at work. If your work have a porch, go work on the porch. Beautiful day outside. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. We are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and events. Maybe some of y'all went to Disney in concert last couple nights. Let us know how it was. Kroom, the world's number one Frozen fan, would like
to have a review on
the show, so let him know. You can call us 693-1150. You can text us at 229-1939. We've got a lot we're going to talk about today. All sorts of stuff going on in college football, college sports. We're going to have Adam Sparks from the Tennessean is going to join us in a little bit to talk about Vandy. We will talk some Aggie basketball, played a game Monday, and then you were at that game, Kroom, and then they play again tomorrow night. We'll talk a little bit about them. Later on, Kelly Brown, our editor here, is going to come in. We'll talk a little bit about Aggie Bonfire. So a lot going on the show today. The first thing I want to talk about, Kroom, is the ultimate number one sign that your favorite team's season has gone horribly awry, and that's the players-only meeting. The Rockets had a players-only meeting, and
their decision was they fired the coach. Kevin McHale.
So that's what I was wondering on Twitter earlier. Was the players-only meeting just a practice?
Well, it was probably like they looked at each other and said, it's not our fault.
Was it a coup?
So it must be Kevin McHale.
Overthrowing of the government down there? I don't know. Did the players get him a fire? The players clearly got Kevin McHale fired.
It looks like it, doesn't it? I don't know if you can say that, but it sure looks like
it. Oh, I'm saying it.
I know you would.
Overthrow. So it was a. I guess it wouldn't be like a coup. It'd be more of like a. What is it? A mutiny.
Mutiny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. A mutiny. The mutinous.
Yeah. Mutiny. Yeah. I was gonna say you have mutinies on boats. Can you have a mutiny on a rocket?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 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 They maritime law, space law. It's very similar.
It's different. Different times.
I think it's very similar. Maritime law and space law. It's still a mutiny. Oh, there's no question.
You could have used that as space news on Friday.
It could have been
would have been great, wouldn't it?
No, it's not spacey
enough. I think that would have been kind of a cool connection.
You can't use actual sports news for space news.
But it's Rockets.
Ah. By the way, I never knew. I think we talked about this on the show before. I didn't know the Rockets were called the Rockets before they came to Houston. That was just lucky.
Oh, that they were the San Diego Rockets?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. Why would I know that? That happened a long time ago.
I don't know.
But
the Nuggets were the Denver Rockets before they were the Nuggets.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, I'm just putting all the Rockets together.
It's just weird that the Rockets happen to work out. But anyway.
I'm putting all my rocks in a pile.
There's been a mutiny in Houston, and someone's going to be coaching the Rockets. They should just hire me. I could tell James Harden to shoot a lot.
You could have him at 4-7 right now.
Here's what you do. You pay me $50,000 to sit there, and then you go out and hire like the three best X's and O's assistants you can find for like $1 million each. And then I'll just
sit
there.
So you do all the media stuff.
Yeah, I'll do all the media stuff. I'll yell at the refs. I'll tell James Harden to shoot a lot of threes. I'll call timeouts every 2 minutes because it's the NBA. I'll complain about traveling. It's a great deal for everybody. I'd be great in press conferences. Coach, what was your strategy there at the end? Didn't really have one. Just turn to the guys at the side, ask them what they wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, after all, they were going to do what they want to do because they had a players-only meeting.
Right, exactly.
Ago.
So, Rockets, I'm officially putting my name in the ring to be the Rockets' interim coach. And then if I do well enough...
tell them about your St. Joseph's.
Yeah. I helped guide the St. Joseph's Eagles JV to a winning record like 4 years running. From 2000...
Four?
I didn't realize
it was four years.
From 2006 to 2009.
Wow, that's...
We were... Yeah.
That's good for you to stick around that long.
Yeah, well, I had a whole generation of kids at St. Joseph's that we went through. So there you go. That's my.
As soon as all the really good players left, you.
It's my big game experience. Well, I graduated.
Knowing that you were.
I graduated college
anyway.
Nah, I got out. Retired. But I'm willing to come out of retirement for the Rockets. Let me know. Rockets, you can call us, 693-1150.
You're going to be Larry Brown.
Or they could just call me directly. I'm not that hard to find. All right, here you go. 229-1939 is the text line.
Maybe we could have the GM on the show one day.
Yeah, what's it, Maury? Is that his name?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he just coach the team if he thinks he knows everything? Anyway, all right, we're moving on from the Rockets. We don't care. Hit us up, 229-1939. Someone earlier on the SEC coaches teleconference said A&M will announce a starter close to game time on Saturday. I don't think that's announcing. That's just starting someone.
Yeah, that's just starting.
Right? I mean, like whoever. Someone's got to go out there and take the snaps. So that's a little bit new. The last time they announced a starter on Friday, they're not going to do that this week, it doesn't sound like. Why would they?
Why wait? Well, I guess they just don't want to let anybody know.
What
difference does it make whether you announce it on Friday or Saturday? It's not like they're going to be practicing in between those 2 days since it's a travel day.
All of that Vandy film study that could go on between Friday and Saturday.
That's true, yeah. They know that they're going to prepare for Kyler.
I don't think it makes a difference. Anyway. The thing, A&M has been practicing. I doubt they're not going to practice on Friday this week because they're traveling, but they had been practicing on Fridays. So I don't know if they're even going to know. I mean, that's part of it. Maybe they just, who knows? They don't want to get it out there. But, Kroom, your thoughts?
I'm waiting for the day that they look up and go, we're not going to announce a starter until Sunday.
I think they should. We've talked about this. Just have a receiver go out there and take a snap so that neither one of them starts. That was kind of Stephen McGee's idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly his idea.
Let Connor McQueen take one.
McGee's idea is that if whichever one comes off the bench seems to play better, then just put whichever one you think is going to play better on the bench and let the other one have the first series and then bring them in. So I don't know what you do. It's been 2 days. Kroom, you got a feel? Kyler, where are you going?
I don't have a feel, but I think it should be Kyler. I don't think you can. I think it's Kyler, and you have a shorter leash. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah? Why? Why is that?
Well, I think you know a little bit about what Kyle can do. I think you don't know yet exactly. I don't think we have enough on Kyler yet. Let him have a few games under his belt, and this is the perfect time to do it, I think. So. But you still want to win, so that's why the leash is a little short if it's not working.
Well, I wrote this in my blog, and you can check that out at MyAggieNation.com. And I did a blog yesterday on kind of the case for both in this particular game. Now, again,
That's copping out if you're giving them a case for both.
Well, it depends on what
you can't start too.
No, but here's the question, and this is why I wrote the blog on it, because the question is more complicated than just which one throws the football better. That is Kyle. If he's 100%.
We all know what they can do.
But the thing is, the numbers otherwise. Like, with Kyler at quarterback, Trey Carson averages almost a yard more per carry than he does when Allen is at quarterback. But Allen averages 3 more yards per pass attempt than Murray does. Murray's yards
Allen's
per...
Allen's got a plus 2 right there.
Murray's per a pass attempt yardage wouldn't even be in the top 100 in the country. He doesn't have enough passing attempts to qualify for the official list, but even if he did, he wouldn't even be on it because the average is so low. It's like 5.8 yards per pass attempt. Even with Allen's like horrible games he's had, he still is like 7.8 in yards per pass attempt. So I guess it's plus 2 over Murray there. So he's still quite a bit better. The other thing, and this is the key for A&M against Vanderbilt, people forget this, that because, you know, Murray played spot duty the first few games, but Murray has more interceptions than Allen does in only 55% of the attempts, which is crazy. He's thrown 7 interceptions this season.
And we did discuss turnovers on Tuesday yesterday.
Yeah, and he could
in the press conference.
That's the problem. So what it comes down to for me in this game is, do you think A&M can run the ball on Vanderbilt? If you think they can, then you start Kyler Murray and you run the football because that's what Kyler can do. And when he's out there, it helps the run game overall because everyone's got to worry about him too.
See,
if you don't think so,
I think that's Vanderbilt's strength.
Right, it is. They're 21st in the country against the run, and they're like 3rd in the conference. But that's the thing. Do you think you can run the ball enough on Vandy to win the game? If so, then you go with Murray. If you don't, if you don't think you can run the ball well enough, even with Murray out there, then I think you've got to go with Allen or even Hubenak, depending on how he looks in practice. We really don't know. And again, Allen's maybe healthy, maybe not situation. But as long as he's 100%, as long as he looks good to go, there's no doubt they throw the ball better when Allen's on the field. So I think, to me, it comes down to that question. Do the A&M coaches think they can run the ball on Vandy?
Here's something I got. What I got out of yesterday was when Coach Sumlin talked about Allen throwing against an FCS team, and it was only, you know, it was at the end when they were a little more tired. It was almost like he wasn't trying to build Allen up at all. I mean, you know what I'm saying with those comments? Hmm? You know, I mean, I thought Allen played really well, and it was almost like Sumlin was kind of trying to taper us down a little bit on how well he played.
Yeah, because a lot of people made a little bit too much of him, you know, 6 for 6 or whatever he did. But and that's why, you know, you kind of throw that out for me. It's not about that particular game. But he did finally look good throwing it again. Like I said, for me, it just comes down to that question. How confident are they in the run game? And I frankly wouldn't be very confident in it. So I would probably, again, this is all things being equal, if it's close in practice, if they're both healthy kind of stuff. We don't know all that behind the scenes. But just from what we can see, I would probably be inclined to go with Allen this week because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball on Vandy.
I think it's all still a matter of – I think you just can't bench Murray, I think, right off the bat. I mean, I think you just got to let him try. You got to give him a shot. And if you bring back Allen, it's kind of, wow, this is really a situation where we don't know what's going on.
Someone texted Jacob from College Station, said, "Hey, are you guys tired of the carousel of quarterbacks? Live and die with one of them, or both will leave? Why would both want to stay if they have to go through this every week?"
That's a good point. We're always talking about one leaving, but you know, if they both got tired of this,
I wouldn't.
Of course, as soon as one said, "I'm transferring," then the other one would look up and go, "Hey, maybe I'll stay." So
the thing to me is, and we always talk about guys transferring, and I'm sure someone somewhere is going to take Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen if they wanted to transfer. That's not really my point here. But neither one of them have done enough, certainly Kyler hasn't, to be guaranteed to start a game. You know, neither one of them have, I would say, earned the right to start the next game. Now, they could earn it in practice, but they haven't earned it that even if they have a bad game, they should automatically be the next starter. I mean, these guys, you know, there's quarterbacks that have been with you for so long or have been so consistent or so good that if they have one bad game, they're still going to start the next game. Neither one of these guys is to that point. And that's why, to me, is it the mental aspect of it and what does it say when you're swapping quarterbacks in and out? And grow up, all right? This is college football in the SEC. You got to be mentally tough and you got to go out there and play. This is the thing we talked about with Sam Kahn on yesterday is – if the problem with Allen is mental, then you've got to move on anyway. Right. Then he shouldn't start at all, and he shouldn't even be part of the equation. Because if you can't trust him...
Right, and he's now almost halfway through his career.
Right, and I know that he's at the end of his sophomore season. He's a true sophomore, and he's not as good as he's going to be. But if you're basically saying, which is what, for all we know, is what they're saying, because they haven't said he's hurt. They've said he's fine. All we know is that something happened against Ole Miss and Alabama that was so bad that he essentially got benched for 2 weeks and, you know, couldn't even battle enough in practice to get playing time over Jake Hubenak, then you've got to move on completely. And like I said, he shouldn't even be part of the thing because what's to say that's not going to happen again? He comes out, maybe he looks good against Vandy, but then craters against LSU. Well, then what have you learned? So that's
nothing,
the other side of it.
That's exactly why I say start Murray.
Well, and that's the other side of it to me of if that's the problem with Allen. If it's all mental, then he's got bigger problems that you can move on anyway.
I got another solution. You know, it's the opposite of your wide receiver line up a quarterback thing. Let Allen line up a quarterback and start Murray out on the flank at the very beginning of the game. That way they both start.
Well, I've said that, too. They should just line Murray up at wide receiver.
That's the opposite.
Someone texted, Allen played against Alabama and Ole Miss. Kyler started against South Carolina and Western Carolina. Big difference in the defenses.
Yes.
And that was my thing.
Which is why you've got to start Murray, because you got to see what he can do against the better defenses.
But my point there, he was bad against a bad defense. You know, if you put Kyler Murray in the game he had Saturday against Alabama's defense, he would have been way worse than what Allen was. Right. Allen threw three picks, and Murray would have – he threw two anyway.
Yeah, and he would have had a pick six as well. You know, yeah. You could say Allen threw three pick sixes, but you can't really blame that all on Allen. You can blame it on the offense.
No, the fact that they got ran back for touchdowns kind of shape. But Allen also threw for like 300-something yards or 280. He threw for quite a few yards in that game also. He made some decent throws that Kyler didn't even have that. I think the last couple of weeks. His longest pass completion of the season is only 26 yards. And
that was last week, right?
Yeah, and that's not good enough. I mean, Kyler's got to look down the field a little bit more. We'll see. I'm sure they're going to go with Murray. I shouldn't say sure. I'm like 90% that they're going to go with Murray.
That's my bet.
Because I think their thought process this week is, let's go in there, let's run the ball, let's keep the game low scoring, and we'll try to win it at the end somehow. And I think their biggest concern with both of them is turnovers. So if you go ahead and run the ball, you're probably not going to turn it over as much. But who knows? All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to ask you, Kroom, what is a good game for A&M Vanderbilt? You know, what does A&M need to do to go in there and to come out and fans go, you know what? I have a little bit more confidence in this team, coaching staff, program, whatever. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hit us up. What are your thoughts? 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Ice cold Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on, hop in.
Now you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here, born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
All right, man. Everything's all set for tonight. Nobody will be home.
Cool. What time can I come over?
The party is starting around 8. Just remember, you gotta bring something for the party.
There's a liquor cabinet. It's full, but it's locked.
Dang.
I mean, there's the medicine cabinet. We got cough syrup, headache stuff. Ooh, and mom's nerve and pain stuff.
Perfect. Grab as much as you can.
The liquor cabinet is not the only cabinet that needs to be locked. For more information, visit StopRxDrugAbuse.org.
The guide to better living in the Brazos Valley is the Brazos Life Annual Manual. The Brazos Life Annual Manual is packed with everything to see and do in the Brazos Valley. From where to go to take in our vigorous art scene, or where to go for a vigorous workout. This magazine features the who's who, what's what, and where's where in the Brazos Valley. Advertise your business in the Brazos Life Annual Manual. Call Sam Jones with Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com. What's better than Aggie football in Aggieland? Attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football, of course. Every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, it's the Bellucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio every week, twice a week. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with something different you can try every single time you come. Make the Bellucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Just $3 a day could buy the average Texan health insurance. And with the fine for not having insurance increasing to almost $700 next year, it just doesn't make sense to put it off any longer. Go to InsureHealthTX.org. That's InsureHealthTX.org.
Spend your weekdays with Texags Radio. Louis Bellino, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
To see the heaven in your eyes is not so far, 'cause I'm not afraid to try and go it, to know the love and beauty never known before. I'll leave it up to you to show it. And golden lady, golden
welcome
lady,
back.
I'd like to go there.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. Talking A&M, Vandy, anchor down, right? That's the Vandy thing, anchor down. Someone said their strength is red zone defense. Our weakness is red zone offense. I feel better. I will feel better about the direction of this team if we can win that battle. Someone said Allen was definitely hurt against Alabama and Ole Miss. Not sure why someone won't admit it. Start Allen and have a package for Murray ready. Allen gives us the best chance to win the next three games. It'll depend on who they play in the bowl game. They can play someone horrible, and it doesn't really matter.
If you start Allen, if you start Allen, maybe you can score some touchdowns without having to get to the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, too. Getting into the red zone is going to be the problem in this game. And I know their red zone defense has been good. They hold teams to field goals. But for A&M right now, it's everything is a grind. I mean,
they've moved the ball. A&M's moved the ball somewhat. I mean,
they've moved
the ball better than they've scored the ball.
Well, yeah, they moved it pretty well on Auburn and just had some interceptions in the end zone. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Can they finish drives? To me, if you want to feel good about this team moving forward, it almost doesn't matter what the defense does. Now, unless they just get absolutely gashed, then you feel worse.
Yeah, because if they get gashed, as you said, sorry about that, against Vanderbilt's running game, what's going to happen the following week?
Well, what I'm saying there is
that's the only way Vanderbilt's going to go about it.
What I'm saying is you could come out feeling worse about the A&M defense, but I don't know there's anything that could happen this weekend that you come out feeling better because of how bad Vandy's offense is. We talked about this yesterday.
You just got to hold serve.
The Vandy
A&M defense just got to hold serve.
This is a Vandy team that got shut out by Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blanked.
And would have been shut out against Florida if it wasn't for one long run where an official got in the way and and the guy would have been tackled about 12 or 15 yards downfield instead of going for 77 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah, so I say all that to say that I don't think that the defense's performance this weekend really matters. Again, unless
they give up more than 20 points,
the question was what could happen that makes you feel good about this team. And like that's what I'm getting at. Nothing that happens on the defense you're going to come out going, "Oh, I feel a whole lot better about our defense."
Yeah.
Especially because of what's next, which is Leonard Fournette and LSU. So, I mean, if they hold Vandy to -5 yards or something, then you're going to feel pretty good about that. But I don't think there's a whole lot of movement there on the positive side. The offense is what needs to look better. And I know Vandy's defense is pretty good, but we talked about this yesterday, and I felt like I was taking crazy pills all week. Still do. This is Vanderbilt we're talking about. Like, I know that they held Florida to one touchdown. Florida's playing with the backup quarterback. And I know that they played Kentucky.
And Florida had turnovers that day.
Yeah, and I know they beat Kentucky in last week, but Kentucky's a terrible football team.
Right.
You have got to be able to score a couple times on Vanderbilt. So I think that would be 3 touchdowns, and I think maybe you feel good about the offense from where they've been. If they can put 3 touchdowns on the board.
I think you got to be in the 20s somewhere.
I think the other big thing
– at least be – feeling good about yourself.
The other thing for me would be if Trey Carson can go for 100 yards in this game, then I think you're starting to say something. You know, they've talked about being more efficient, how they thought they ran the ball well against Auburn, but kind of got into a situation where they had to throw it. I'm not necessarily sure I agree with that, but they did choose to throw it. He did average over 4.5 yards a carry or whatever it was in that game. So if you can get Trey Carson up to 100 yards, you score about 3 touchdowns, then I think you're at least – you don't feel good, but you've bounced back a little bit from where you feel now about the A&M offense. You know, you don't feel good, but you feel better. Does that make sense? It's like when your fever breaks and you still can tell you're sick, but you're starting. Starting the upswing.
Mm-hmm,
You know, like that's what I'm talking about here. Like I said, if you can get 100 yards.
You know what I'd like to see? A little balance. So I'd like to see you're talking about yards. How about a 200-200 game? You know, where you have at least 200 rushing, 200 passing.
That's not going to happen. No way they put up 400
yards.
But that's
what you're talking about, what you want to see, what you'd like to see.
Right, but Vanderbilt's not going to give them enough possessions to rack up that many yards. I mean, Houston only rolled up, 380 yards, 378 total yards, and they absolutely killed them. I just don't think A&M will have enough possessions, especially if they're running the football also in this game, to put up that many yards.
Because of time ago. Okay, we'll go 175, 175. We'll give them 25 yards on each because they'll have a couple possessions.
Blake from Cameron said, above all else, we need to prove that we can stop a run. I feel we hold them the double digits in the rushing yardage category. Yeah, like I said, you'd feel pretty good then. At least you'd feel – maybe you can
as
come out feeling
a little
good. As much
as Vanderbilt runs, though, it's maybe not so much double digits. It's what you hold them to average-wise, because they're going to run it. And so, I mean, and if you get 50 plays, you can average two, you know, you got 100 yards.
I think if you...
So I'm thinking, you know, if you can just hold them to 3 yards or less a carry.
I'm going to revise my defensive statement, because I think if you limited the big plays, no rushing plays for over 15 yards, maybe 20 yards, then I think you'd come out feeling a little bit better about the defense.
Because even Western Carolina
hit a big play on them, mm-hmm. a couple big plays on them. So I think you'd feel quite a bit better if you didn't give up any big plays on defense. Now, again, I still don't think you feel good. But
you got to know that A&M's focusing on that, because Chavis talks about it every Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, they'd have to it's just – you feel for Chavis
so,
a little bit.
And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, they would feel better about themselves too.
Well, that's not that the happened. Question. They could feel better about themselves for all sorts of things.
But it's they who matters, Aubrey.
Not for us. Oh, our show's Aggie Nation. We don't care about the fans think. We don't care about the players think. I mean, we do, but the fans don't. You know, it's all about the fans here. But I don't think – well, we'll see. Yards per carry is a thing. Can you keep in the threes?
I say under three.
If you keep them in the threes, you're probably doing okay for how bad A&M's run defense has been. You'd feel all right.
Keep them in threes and only two runs between 10 and 20.
Yeah, the thing for me on the offensive side is, and part of it the last few games, even with Murray at quarterback, is even when Murray was there, when Allen was there, it just hasn't had any explosiveness to it. Even when it's worked this season, it's been mostly in small pieces. You know, I want to see some playmakers make some plays and somebody go out there and make a big play for A&M. That's one thing we haven't seen much at all lately. I think Trey Carson's longest run of the season is like 30 yards. Kyle Allen, like I said, Kyler Murray's longest pass is only 26, and that was to the most wide-open player I've ever seen in my entire life, and Jeremy Tabullo was standing by himself in the end zone. So someone about to make a big play. Maybe it's Reynolds. I tell you who, if they made a big play, you'd come out feeling a whole lot better.
Speedy
Noyle, who's been a ghost this season. I know he was injured and then the suspension, but effectively, other than a few highlight plays on broken plays and free plays last year when A&M knew the defense was offsides, we haven't seen anything out of Speedy Noyle in the passing game. He's done a little bit in return.
Right.
But,
in the return game.
But that'd be something. Christian Kirk, we know who he is. We know he's a playmaker. If he's not making plays, we assume it's either on the quarterback or the defense is absolutely locking him down. Noyle, I don't think we know that.
No.
Go make a play. I like to see Josh Reynolds bounce back. That's what I'm saying. Someone go out there, make a big play. 100 yards from Carson, a big play by somebody, and you hold Vandy to in the threes in yards per carry. That's my list of requirements this week, Kroom. That's my big hot take on that.
We have, all year long we talk about all the playmakers they have, but, maybe there's a do they? There?
I've been saying there's a do they. The only one that's made a play is Kirk.
Kirk, yeah. And,
Seals Jones has been a lot better.
Seals Jones has made a lot of good plays, but he's not really a playmaker.
No, well, he's not an explosive game breaker
anyway. He's not going to make that.
So for me,
he's not going to run around three different guys and then go score.
You can go back and talk about this in the summer for me, for Ricky Seals Jones. He needed to become a possession guy that when they need a big third down, he goes and gets you 8 yards. He goes and gets you 6 yards. And I think he's done that.
When he can. When the quarterback's allowed him to do that, he's done that.
So I feel pretty good about Ricky Seals Jones and where he's at. I don't really include him in that go make a play thing because he's not going to, unless they're playing some bad team.
It's one of the three wide. It's one of the three.
Reynolds, Noyle,
Kirk.
I'd like to see one out of three
so far this year.
Well, Damian Ratley can show me something for his own sake.
Yeah, he needs to show something Once
again,
you say this is for our listeners, but
for that matter, Kyler
Damian's
Murray. If Kyler breaks the pocket and takes off, get a big play. 20, 25 yards, 30 yards. I want to see a big play. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a playmaker.
I don't think that's too much to
put him like that.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll have Adam Sparks from the Tennessean. He's going to tell us about the Commodores, what they're doing, how they're feeling over there, and all that good stuff. So hit us up, 229-1939. We'll be back. By the way, someone texted. They said, hold on, let's find the got to find the exact thing. It said if Luke Walton can coach the Warriors to 12-0, then Aubrey can coach the Rockets to 4-7. That's right.
Yeah.
Bloom for the Rockets. It's the hashtag. Get it.
Okay, no more texts from Aubrey's friends.
All right, 229-1939. We'll be back with Adam Sparks. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
from News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Bill Oliver at the News Update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Bluebell is again making ice cream in Brenham.
We've asked a lot of our employees, and they've responded. They've been a real key in getting us to this point.
CEO Paul Cruzy led off a video on Bluebell's website that was part of today's announcement. As the case of Bluebell plants in Alabama and Oklahoma, ice cream being made in Brenham is for test purposes. There's no firm date when ice cream in Brenham will be available for sale. College Station school board members have approved the promotion of the principal of College Station High School to the central office. Mike Martindale starts January 1st as the district's new deputy superintendent for business and operations, Martindale taking over for Glenn Walker, who's retiring. Officials at the Brazos Central Appraisal District will meet with the county commission next Tuesday, seeking support of its proposal to buy land and build its own offices. Yesterday, two BCAD board members met with County Judge Dwayne Peters, who they say offered for the first time selling land the county owns near the tax office. Board members say the judge was not interested in selling a parcel they preferred that would share a parking lot with the new tax office. From Brazos County District Court, a second man's headed to prison after admitting to being part of a carjacking and bank robbery in North Bryan a year ago. 25-year-old Jarrell Johnson of Bryan was sentenced to 40 years for the armed robbery of the Prosperity Bank at Highway 21 in Texas, and before that taking an SUV parked at the Dollar General at MLK and Highway 21. Johnson made a plea agreement the month after his partner, Jamario Butler of College Station, was convicted by a jury and sentenced to life. A Navasota man's admitted to a pair of crimes in College Station from last year and the year before last. 21-year-old Dryon Moore sentenced to 8 years for an armed robbery 2 years ago involving illegal drugs near Consolidated High School and striking then binding a College Station police officer at the city jail following his arrest for calling 911 13 times, making false reports about an ex-girlfriend. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
What's better than Aggie football in Aggieland? Attending the best live show around to stay up to date and on top of all things Aggie football, of course. Every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap, it's the Belucci Hour. Get recruiting insight from Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of Texags Radio every week, twice a week. Plus, enjoy the Tap's delicious $7.99 lunch specials with something different you can try every single time you come. Make the Belucci Hour lunch a part of your week every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1.
Advanced planning for a service is one way we serve your family.
We looked into advanced planning.
It made a lot of sense for us.
You'll be making your decisions at a time when the emotions of the moment aren't so overwhelming. And you can be confident in knowing that when the day does come, everything will be taken care of according to your wishes. Lindley Robertson Holt Funeral Home, serving the family for generations.
It's time to go back in time. Bud Light invites you to join the fun of the Texas Renaissance Festival happening every weekend through November 29th, including Thanksgiving Friday. Share in the merriment of hundreds of live performances, the taste of over 1,000 foods, and the fun of dozens of games and rides. Only a 50-acre theater could contain this much adventure. Tickets are on sale now at texrenfest.com. Don't miss the legendary revelry of the Texas Renaissance Festival, brought to you by Bud Light. Huzzah!
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom here with you on a Wednesday. We're joined now by, well, I don't know if we've had him on before. I started to say friend of the show, but maybe he's the first time on the show. Adam Sparks of The Tennessean. He has the lovely task of being the beat writer for the Vanderbilt Commodores. So we got Adam on the phone. Adam, how's it going? How's the weather? I hope all of the bad stuff's getting out of the way so that it will just only be cold for us this weekend, which I'm already not thrilled about, but better than cold and rainy.
It's about a half of a monsoon coming down here now in Tennessee. I don't think it's supposed to be cold. Well, relatively speaking to what you guys have down there, may be cold. I think it's supposed to be in the 50s or something like that on Saturday.
Freezing. Can't even handle it. Adam, let's talk a little bit about Vandy. My big question for you is, what is the Vandy fans' thoughts on this current team? They're certainly better than they were a year ago, but are they good enough? And kind of where are the fans and where's the program at right now?
Well, it's turned a little bit the past couple of weeks. I mean, if you kind of took a poll maybe 3-4 games into the season, I think more than half of the Vandy fan base would say, I don't think it's going to work out with Derek Mason. I guess it turned a little bit once they beat Missouri. That was Derek Mason's first SEC win. And then they should have beaten Florida. They lost 9-7 there. They beat Kentucky. It's kind of started turning. Really, the big reason, well, two big reasons. Number one, they're one of the better defenses in the country, and that's one thing that they lacked last year. Is you couldn't really pinpoint anything in Derek Mason's first year that said Vandy is good at this. And now they can say they're good at defense. It helps the fact that he took over as the play caller. So he can actually say, I have a value in this team. I've made one side of the ball as good as about anybody in college football. The other thing that's helped very lately is the quarterback change. Last year, this staff and Derek Mason was criticized for using four different starting quarterbacks, most of anybody in college football last year. And they had gone with Johnny McCrary through the first six games. That wasn't working out. And they made a change in midseason to the true freshman, Kyle Shermer. And some people rolled their eyes a little bit and said, here we go again, making another change. But it's worked out. And he looks like he's the future. He looks like he'll be the starter. He'll be the starter from here on out. And he looks like he's going to be the guy in the offseason and spring and next season. So people feel really good about the defense, and there's at least a little bit of optimism on the offensive side of the ball because they may have found their quarterback.
At some point this season, and maybe this weekend against an A&M defense that hasn't exactly been dominant lately, do they want to test out what Shermer's got and see if he really is the quarterback of the future? Is he going to be handing it off, making the simple reads, and hoping to get this game late into the fourth quarter?
Well, they've added a little bit onto his plate each week. We even saw last week he started to check off into different pass protections at the line, and that's something we hadn't really seen in his first couple of starts. He throws the ball well. He throws it downfield well. You can see a growth in him each week. I think they threw a couple of deep balls last week, which they had not done really all season. He's got the arm to do it. Really, one of the bigger limitations is they don't really have the receivers, I think, to stretch the field that well. But I think they like where he's coming along schematically. He's the son of Pat Shermer, the former head coach of the Browns, the current offensive coordinator of the Eagles, and so he's got a football mind to him. I don't know if they're going to test out A&M too much. There's an interesting matchup here is that Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator at Vanderbilt, was at Wisconsin last year calling plays, and in the opener last year, Wisconsin went against LSU and John Chavis, and so you've got kind of a replay of that matchup. And that was a kind of a back-and-forth type game. Wisconsin was up, I think, three touchdowns and blew it at the end. And Chavis had really good pass rush in that game but gave up a lot of rushing yards. And so I'll be interested to see if that narrative follows through in this one.
What do you think, as far as Vandy, what are they confident in this week against A&M, and what are they maybe worried about as far as what A&M is going to bring to the table?
Well, obviously they're worried about, two things. The pass rush, which everybody is going to be against A&M. I don't think you can simulate that in practice necessarily, although Vandy's got some pretty good guys in their front seven. But they're... the offensive line played well last week against Kentucky, but it's been up and down all year. They've had four different offensive tackles. you know, that's going to be, I think that's probably the more critical thing of trying to block those defensive ends when they had different tackles every week. I mean, Vandy's left tackle used to be their right tackle. Their current right tackle was their third string right tackle at the beginning of the season. And so you've just had kind of a mishmash of different guys on the outside there on the offensive line. That's going to be pretty key to for Shermer to get in the right protection, to not be confused at the line of scrimmage, and get the ball out of his hands quickly before the pass rush gets there. The other thing is Christian Kirk. I don't know if anybody's, you know, really figured out how to defend him, I think, especially in the returns game. Vandy's had some special teams issues this year, and Kirk is a guy that Derek Mason knows very, very well. He was his primary recruiter when he was at Stanford. Derek Mason's also an Arizona guy, and so he's known Kirk for a long, long time, knows what he can do well. But even Vandy said this week they don't really have somebody on their roster that can play, you know, the role of Christian Kirk in the returns game during the week.
Is there maybe guys outside of Shermer, outside of Webb, that if this Vandy offense is going to have a big weekend, if they're going to do something that maybe that they haven't done lately or maybe simulate what they did against Kentucky, guys that people should watch that maybe they don't know about?
Yeah, Darius Sims is, I guess, the one that I would pick out. If you saw last week's game, you may scratch your head at that because he fumbled a punt. He bobbled another one, bobbled a kickoff. Dropped a pass. He's up and down week to week, but he's a guy that came in basically as what they call one of their hybrid type guys, which obviously a lot of offenses have now. He'll line up in the backfield at times. He'll split out at wide receiver. He'll be in the slot. They like to throw to him. He'll run it some. Ralph Webb is a guy who's finally got a few big plays this year, but Ralph Webb is primarily a grinded out 4 yards at a time type guy. Darius Sims is the, you know, get 6-7 carries, but one or two of those he'll pop for a pretty long one. And so he's their home run threat, but they've only got maybe like a couple of home runs out of him this year. He was one of the best kick returners in the country last year, ran a couple back for touchdowns against South Carolina in the same game. And so, you know, if they're going to get big plays, if they're going to pop some big ones, it would probably be from Sims.
We hear a lot about Vandy, the defense, how great they've been this season and all the different things. Is there a preference for them? Would they rather face a mobile quarterback like Kyler Murray because they can force him out of the pocket and do some things? Or would they rather face a pro-style guy like Kyle Allen? Have they had more success against one type than the other?
They've had success really against both kinds. I mean, there hasn't really been anybody that's really lit them up, lit up their defense. I mean, Houston scored 34 on them, but that was because of turnovers and the offense giving the ball away. They've had success against both sides, but really Derek Mason has kind of made his career out of containing mobile quarterbacks. He did that at Stanford when he was a defensive coordinator there. Marcus Mariota, basically the only two bad games, or two of the bad games he had in his career was against Derek Mason as his defense at Stanford, and that's where Mason kind of made his name. Since he's been now at Vanderbilt, he's done the same thing. You just haven't seen running quarterbacks get out of the pocket that much. His thing is he's very eclectic in his pressures and his blitzes. He will mix them up a lot. He'll confuse quarterbacks. He'll bring a blitz from the nickel or from the safety, and then on the next play he'll drop defensive ends into coverage. He's got a pretty mixed up defense, and I know it's given a lot of opposing quarterbacks trouble. Josh Dobbs at Tennessee last year had played really well all year, and they shut him down in the season finale. And since then, Dobbs hasn't really been able to run it much against other people because Derek Mason kind of set the template of this is how you defend that dual threat quarterback.
Should be an interesting one over there. A&M's first trip to Vanderbilt, a classic SEC rivalry that dates all the way to 2013 and the one matchup there. What kind of crowd are you expecting this week? I know it's the last home game of the year, I believe, over there. What kind of crowds are they getting? Are the fans, you mentioned a little bit of optimism now around Mason. Is there going to be a decent crowd over there? What are we expecting this weekend?
No, I mean, they don't draw very well. I mean, they've done okay late in the year, relatively speaking, but it'll be in the lower 30s. It depends on the weather somewhat. If the weather's bad, the crowd will be bad. But, you know, I mean, Vanderbilt, historically, they've relied on opponents to fill, you know, 30 to 50% of their stadium, and that's just kind of the way it's always been. If you're in Alabama or a Tennessee or a Georgia going there, you're going to get a lot of people in there as the opponent, you know. And I can't imagine a lot of people are going to be traveling from A&M, so I don't expect the crowd to be very, 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 very big.
Any must-see, can't-miss Nashville thing for the fans making the trip?
Go down to Music Row and Broadway. Any of the if you like country music, you can walk anywhere in the town and you'll find it.
Well, luckily, we tend to like country music down here in Texas, so it should be a fun weekend up there. Adam, thanks for being with us. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
There you go. Adam Sparks of the Tennessean.
A couple interesting points there. I like the Stanford connections with all this.
Yeah, well, the thing about Christian Kirk, I thought was interesting.
And then the thing about the, you know, the dual-threat quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was wondering, because I wonder if they wouldn't almost rather face Kyler Murray, was one of the things I wonder about Vandy. They have been so good against the run, and he's been so inconsistent passing it, that I wonder if that's not who they would rather see. So, he didn't really say either way, but that was kind of the theory in my head of who Vanderbilt would rather see out there. But, I don't know, I guess we will find out. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel. Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
Ice cold, Coors Light.
Two here.
Coming. You know, strolling these aisles, I've seen it all. Jaw droppers, nail biters. Up close, it gives you goosebumps.
Come on.
Now, you want to feel the gridiron thrills in person? If you're a fan of Rocky Mountain Refreshment, you just might. Enter Coors Light's 2015 football sweepstakes. You win. Coors Light jets you and three pals to a game day of all game days. The sights, the sounds, the encased meats. It's pigskin paradise. They're handing off prizes every week all season long. Just grab Coors Light in the beer aisle. Send a photo of the receipt, and you could be dancing in these aisles. Coors Light here. Born in the Rockies.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Visit CoorsLightGameReady.com for official rules, including entry instructions and deadlines, odds, prizes, restrictions, and for details to enter without purchase. Ends 1-8-16 at 11:59:59 p.m. Central. Entry period deadlines for select prizes may apply. Entry for grand prize mention must be submitted by 10-25-15. Must be legal resident of 50 USDC, 21 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility. Remember, 21 means 21.
The guide to better living in the Brazos Valley is the Brazos Life Annual Manual. The Brazos Life Annual Manual is packed with everything to see and do in the Brazos Valley, from where to go to take in our vigorous art scene or where to go for a vigorous workout. This magazine features the who's who, what's what, and where's where in the Brazos Valley. Advertise your business in the Brazos Life Annual Manual. Call Sam Jones with Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Shop Game Exchange on Black Friday from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., where all games priced $24.95 or less are buy one, get one free. DVDs priced $4.95 or less are buy one, get five free. Nintendo Wii systems are 50% off. Skylanders figures and Disney Infinity are buy one, get three free. All phones, tablets, and iPods are 25% off. Over 25 sales to shop. It's Game Exchange's Black Friday sale from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. between Harvey Washbangers and Yogurtland on Texas. See their Black Friday weekend sale, too. See store for details.
Send your text messages to 229-1939. 229-1939. Then listen in weekdays at 11 to the Louis Belina Show. Powered by teamofnavasota.com on Sports Radio 1150 and Zone 102.7 FM.
And they can't keep Johnny down. They haven't yet built a man that'll keep old Johnny down.
off the Mac. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Robert Bloom, Richard Kroom. Our second hour, we're going to talk some hoops, and we're going to talk a little bit of bonfire remembrance with Kelly Brown. Before we got to that stuff, I wanted to kind of wrap up the football conversation today, though, with a little bit about Johnny Manziel. Yesterday, handed the reins to the Cleveland Browns for the rest of the season, Kroom. And here's the question I have for you. Can he do enough in these next six games to keep the Browns from drafting a quarterback in the 2016 draft?
I think he can.
Do you think he will is the question.
Well, here's the deal. I like that, like you said, handed the reins. Is it the reins to a quarter horse, or is it the reins to something that's been put out to pasture?
It's like the reins to a covered wagon that's missing a wheel.
Mm-hmm. There you go, see? So, and I think, if he can just keep playing like he did last week, then I'm going to say yes.
He's got to cut down the red zone turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, what I give him the most credit for last week was
one of those was fourth down. Yeah,
play, could have just shook your confidence completely after what he's been through these 2 years in the NFL, and where he fumbled on the very first play, but he came back and played strong. So I'm gonna go yes. What is their record right now?
Not good. I think I saw this week if the season ended today, they would have the number one pick in the draft.
Ooh. But you know what? Is there that number one quarterback out there this year? In the last few years, that's almost seemed like yes, for sure there is. This year, it's I don't know. Although usually that talk heats up a little bit after the college season's
over.
Well,
that's almost the thing here. If they win enough that they end up picking in the middle of the first round, then you might consider taking one of those quarterbacks.
Right. It's almost like, yeah,
But if they lose out and they have the number one pick in the draft, I don't think you're using a number one pick on Cook or Goff out of Cal, Hackenberg out of Penn State.
You might even trade it and maybe get two guys that can help you offensively. Two quote playmakers. Get you another receiver or maybe even two receivers.
Over the next 6 weeks, who proves that they're more vital to the future of the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel or head coach Mike Pettine? If it's Pettine, then Manziel is gone. Or not necessarily gone, but they're going to draft a quarterback. If it's Manziel, if he proves that he's so good over these next 6 weeks that he's the future,
he's the guy,
then
so they
Pettine
get rid
will
of Pettine
leave or he'll, whatever. He'll resign or whatever he's going to do. I think that's the battle for Manziel over the next month and a half. There's no doubt his head coach hates him. From what we can tell, he has absolutely no desire to see Johnny Manziel succeed. He almost seems reluctant to start him, despite what does it even matter?
Well, yeah, but by announcing that he'll be the starter the rest of the year, I mean that's a sign towards.
We don't know that he did that voluntarily.
I'm not saying he did. But but if he didn't do that voluntarily, he was forced to do it. Then you got to think that Johnny's got the upper hand in that situation.
Going in anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see if he can do enough to wrestle away the Cleveland Browns from Mike Pettine. My guess is, I think he's gonna make a good run at it. He was so good the last couple times I've seen him.
I wouldn't say so good, but he definitely has
looked pretty
good.
I thought he was a lot better against the Bengals than he was against the Steelers. It's just the final score didn't indicate it, and the rest of his team was horrid. They had, so many drops in that game. But as far as throwing into traffic and not turning the ball over, I thought he did a much better job in that game. So I thought he's been pretty good. I mean, he hasn't been dominant, but he's been as good as any of the other first or second-year quarterbacks, except maybe Derek Carr.
And the other thing about that is this is start 1-2, wasn't it? Start 2-3, right?
Hmm?
The last 2 weeks have been start 2.
No, he started one earlier this season because of injury to McCown.
3-4 because he had one last year?
Yeah, I think so.
So he is still a rookie.
Yeah,
we will see.
We'll see if he can do it.
For a rookie, those last two games weren't too bad.
All right, we're going to go to the big break. When we come back, let's talk a little basketball, Kroom. A&M's played two games. Got another one coming up tomorrow, and then eight more next week. We'll talk about those. So hit us up with your hoops thoughts, 229-1939, and we will talk about them. What